From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in West Virginia last month at the Boy Scouts of America's National Jamboree. By tradition, the sitting president is invited to address the crowd, roughly 40,000 young scouts and their adult leaders. President Donald Trump was happy to oblige. The president went off script. He bragged about his election victory. He attacked both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. He told bizarre stories of people who got rich and bought yachts and hosted lurid parties. Throughout it all, the scouts in the crowd often cheered and whooped it up with the president. In the days that followed, the chief scout executive for the Boy Scouts of America would release a statement apologizing to anyone who was offended by the president's speech, particularly his invocation of politics. Michael Serbaugh wrote, quote, "For years, people have called upon us to take a position on political issues, and we have steadfastly remained nonpartisan and refused to comment on political matters. We sincerely regret that politics were inserted into the scouting program," end quote. And it got even stranger. President Donald Trump told the Wall Street Journal that the head of the Boy Scouts called him and told him it was, quote, "the greatest speech that was ever made to them." But the organization told Time magazine they are unaware of any call from national leadership placed to the White House. Since the speech, scout leaders have hoped that it would essentially fade into the background so they can get back to work. But some veteran scouts have wondered if the speech is indicative of larger problems. And this hour, we wanted to have a conversation about what scout values are and are not, and what it means to be a scout in 2017. My guests include Stephen Hoyt, Scout Executive and CEO of Seneca Waterways Council. Stephen, nice to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Also here is Charlie Brady. He's a former scout and scout leader. Charlie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And Joel Helfrich is a local historian and a former Eagle Scout. Joel, welcome to the program to you as well.
Thank you.
I know, Stephen, you know, to some degree, I think all of what happened at the Jamboree has put people in your position in difficult spots here. So I first want to say thank you for being here.
Oh, absolutely my pleasure.
And second of all, you know, I certainly don't want to spend the entire hour just listening to sound from the Jamboree, but I do think there are some larger questions in play here. So just to catch anybody up to speed, if you didn't hear it, I think the president spoke for more than half an hour. He often goes off script. A lot of presidents do. When he does, it's sort of unpredictable. And there's a couple of moments in there that I will just share with you that are sort of indicative of the weirdness that happened. First is President Trump simply speaking to the Boy Scouts and just kind of talking about, I think, a crowd size and media and slamming the media. And he kind of got right to it. So this is Trump to the Boy Scouts, and let's listen.
Boy, you have a lot of people here. The press will say it's about 200 people. It looks like about 45,000 people. By the way, what do you think the chances are that this incredible, massive crowd, record-setting, is going to be shown on television tonight? 1% or zero? The fake media will say, President Trump smoke, and you know what this is. President Trump spoke before a small crowd of Boy Scouts today. That is some crowd. Fake media, fake news.
All right, so that's kind of how we kick things off. And where it got really strange is when he talked about the founder of Levittown. He had some sort of message, I guess, on momentum and wealth creation. And, you know, I wasn't fully sure what happened, but the weirdest part is when he talked about, buying yachts and weird parties. And so let's listen to that part of this part to the Boy Scouts on Levittown.
Sold his company for a tremendous amount of money. And he went out and bought a big yacht. And he had a very interesting life. I won't go any more than that because you're Boy Scouts, so I'm not going to tell you what he did. Should I tell you? Oh, you're Boy Scouts, but you know life. He got bored with this life of yachts and sailing and all of the things he did in the south of France and other places. You won't get bored, right? You know, truthfully, your workers, you'll get bored too, believe me. Of course, having a few good years like that isn't so bad.
All right. So I guess I just want to start with this. You know, as I said, I think people like Stephen Hoyt and many other leaders around the country are put in a hard spot here because the media understandably wanted to know what Boy Scout leaders thought of this. And to some degree, there was looking for national guidance. So a couple days later, you had that statement from Boy Scouts of America. But Stephen, to the extent that you're willing, can you characterize what you thought when you heard some of those remarks?
Yeah, actually, I was at the Jamboree, so I got to see the speech live and actually watched it back again on the monitors afterwards. And there was no news media there, actually. It's all kind of carried out on the White House press release as they, I guess, throw it out on YouTube or whatever. But it's actually, I kind of went into this speech thinking the worst, because you never know. You know, kids sometimes will be very direct in their opinions and other stuff, and kids are still kids. And with that, I sat there and was really kind of amazed at how the crowd didn't react at times to the president. I mean, you always have the crowd that will, a handful of any crowd that'll move one way or the other. But I kind of expected the crowd, there would be a significant booing or jeering on both sides, and it really didn't happen. So, as the crowd went, there was a lot of cheering, when he got to the motivational parts. And when he did the story, the one that you just shared, which I just didn't understand either and why it was inserted, the crowd, kind of gets quiet. And they get really, cheering and welcome him very cordially into the event. And kind of greet him with respect. That's due to the office of the president.
Yeah, it's a sitting president.
Yeah, and that's cordial. But it didn't get the hype. And so what was interesting, my takeaway having sat there was that, as you indicated, the president kind of would go off on these tangents. He had a prepared speech, and unto itself, the prepared speech would have been phenomenal. And I've seen several versions now where people actually edited out all the politics stuff and just here's what the speech should have been, and that would have been a great speech, but. The kids kind of sat there, they went through, they were cordial. And I thought that was at least inspiring to me that, to some extent you have this group that disagrees and they're not going to be the anti-voice or they're not going to be disrespectful. And that was kind of, I was kind of worried that was going to happen more so at the Jamboree, and it didn't.
Well, it's interesting you say that because, I think it's important to hear from people like Stephen who was there, because when I hear the sound, I hear Trump saying, yeah, you don't want me to tell you what happened at those parties. And the crowd's going, yeah, and so it does sound like the crowd is egging him on. And it does sound like the crowd is sort of responding at those political moments. But what you're saying is maybe at that event, it didn't feel that way.
It didn't feel that way. And you have a small crowd who's going to respond or whatever. On both sides of the extremes, but the entire crowd and the audience, it was about 45,000, so he was right on the number of what was sitting there. That crowd wasn't nearly as moved during those moments, which that was my takeaway walking out of the arena. It was that this audience was very cordial, very respectful. The president didn't, I don't think, got the anticipated response he was expecting, really like what he would do when he went out on a campaign stop.
Sure.
Because the crowd didn't respond like a campaign crowd. Whereas he got a lot more cheering when he stayed on to the more motivational parts of his speech.
Okay. And again, I find this interesting because some of the comparisons I've seen in recent days are this, that when Trump spoke to the Boy Scouts, he went off script and said some things that were clearly inappropriate and got a reaction. Similarly to how he went off script when he spoke to police on Long Island and got a reaction sort of egging for police brutality. Now, those are adults. Those are police officers responding, cheering that message, laughing at those images of roughing up suspects. These are kids at the Jamboree. That's different. And yet, here's an article from the Midwest on a man named John Rowell, who was kind of did something that Joel kind of did. We're going to talk to Joel Helfrich in a moment about handing in a badge. But John Rowell says, as a Boy Scout in the early 1960s, he had fond members not just of wilderness camping, but canoeing with his buddies, learning values from Troop 211 in Fargo. And then he saw Trump's speech all these years later. And this is what the report in the Minnesota Star Tribune said, that egged on by Trump, many of the scouts cheered or booed on cue. And to Rowell's dismay, scouting leaders did little, if anything, to stop it. So Rowell, a retired mail carrier who served in the Army Reserves, didn't want to discuss the nature of Trump's speech because nobody had any control over that, likely not even Trump's speechwriters. But he says scout leaders throughout the crowd could have controlled their scouts simply by standing up, facing them, and giving them the Boy Scout sign, which Rowell said is the recognized signal for quiet. Quote, it didn't matter what the speaker said. I identified it as an enormous failure of leadership by the adults who were there, end quote. And he decided, I'm handing in my badge, because he says, quote, to cheer in a disrespectful way and to boo a previous president or the losing candidate is against the very values of being a Boy Scout. You are to show respect to people at all times, end quote. He handed in his badge over the reaction that you said maybe has been mischaracterized.
Yeah, well, and like I said, for me going out of the arena, my impression wasn't that. And then, it, you know, that story, how is it played up in the media? And when you listen to the soundbite, you can take that context. So it makes sense.
If he were there, do you think he would have felt differently?
I felt differently. I mean, I can't say how he would have felt. But having sat there, that was my opinion. But again, it's just mine. But you will have, and you have kids on all sides. You've got 45,000 people, and 28,000 of that is kids that is sitting there. But with that, you know, from all political backgrounds and beliefs and religious values all over the board. So it is a pretty diverse audience of people that are there. So I kind of expected a lot more jeering, especially considering, you know, kind of the drama that usually follows this administration. But with that, I was actually amazed at how courteous I thought that crowd was compared to what I anticipated.
Okay. Joel, I'm sorry, Charlie, you want to jump in there too? Go ahead, Chip.
Before coming on the show, I felt really I should listen to the whole speech, not just the clips. So went online, found it on the first place that popped up was a very conservative site. And to your point that the media didn't cover it, somebody was covering it, and they were picking up, they were miking the boos and the cheers and the USAs and the, when he was talking about President Obama or Hillary, the boos came through loud and clear on that particular version of it. So this whole thing started when you were doing your show last week on fake news. Boy, it all ties together. What's fake? I don't know what's fake because I wasn't there.
But you're saying the versions you've seen, it did sound like there was.
I could only listen to it once.
It's hard to listen to.
I guessed about 25% of the time he was off script, and that just makes my hair turn white. The rest of it, he was giving the kind of speech that anybody should give to a group of Boy Scouts or a group of young people, whether they're Scouts or not. But when he was off script, he was in full flame.
Well, and Joel Helfrich is someone who has experience in this. I mean, as you handed in a badge, not because of this, but that one goes back to 2012. Is that right?
That's right, yep.
You became an Eagle Scout in 1991?
Correct. And 21 years later, I decided that I was going to, you know, return my Eagle Scout rank and turn in all of my scouting materials to the local council. And that was regarding a completely different issue.
What was that issue?
It was with regards to the Boy Scouts of America's policy with regards to gay Boy Scouts, and also later with regards to troop leadership, gay troop leadership. So I took a stand in 2012, one that I felt great about. I still feel like that was the right thing for me to do. And, you know, I haven't looked back about it. And I think to some extent, you know, after doing this reading and looking at the text online and watching the video like Charlie did, and you know, I think that my decision so many years ago, I still stand behind that.
Would you, if you had a badge still, would you have handed it in over this speech?
Yeah, I mean, the guy that you quoted from Moorhead, Minnesota, he earned his Eagle Scout in 1960s, like 51 years ago. And so, you know, that's a pretty powerful message to me that somebody, you know, continued to be interested in and supportive of Boy Scouts. And then here's this speech by our sitting president, which to me, even though I can acknowledge that, yes, there was a lot that was said that was positive, that was on message with regards to the Boy Scouts, that was in keeping with the Boy Scout law and the motto and the slogan and so forth, there was a good chunk that wasn't. And there were a lot of boos. I mean, if you read the transcript, you know, every other large paragraph and small paragraph, there are boos, there are cheers, the chanting of USA and so forth. So for me, this was a failure of leadership. You know, it was a failure of leadership before, during, and after the event. Because before, the Boy Scouts should have recognized that, heck, you know, Trump goes off script all the time. He did it when he was elected. He went to the CIA, who he had badmouthed for a year and a half, and he boasted about the record attendance at his inauguration and still said bad things about the CIA. He went to NATO and said bad things about NATO and how countries weren't paying their way. So the idea that you're going to put him before 35, 40, 45,000 people and expect him to stay on message, I think, was really naive.
But part of the tradition is inviting a sitting president,
that's
correct?
Fine. You know, if you still want to invite him, that's fine.
So what should have been done differently then, Joel?
The Scout motto is be prepared. And it's very clear to me that even if I take you at your word that there weren't as many boos and as many cheers and so forth that occurred during that speech as was, you know, clearly picked up by the microphones, even if that's not the case, the problem is that there still was.
There were some, anyway.
And the Boy Scouts of America has a policy against political speech and their connection to political speech and Boy Scouts' connection to political speech. So to me, that happens once, it happens twice, maybe it happens five times, but the troop leaders that are there should have been showing the scout sign, saying, we're going to stay quiet, we're not going to applaud for bad-mouthing a former president or an opponent, we're not going to buy into this. So before this happened, you should have prepared the scouts that, hey, this is what you might expect, and this is how we're going to expect you to act when this happens. Two, when it happens, it immediately gets shut down. And then after the fact, you know, I understand the Boy Scouts and I wanting to get involved in politics. That's fine. You don't have to tell us who you voted for. But the problem is that the president made this a political speech. And to be honest, in no way was this speech, the bulk of it, in keeping with the Boy Scout law. And so there should have been a much quicker and swifter reaction to say, hey, we don't support what was said. You know, we offer this as tradition. This is our, you know, what we've done for a long time, but this is not what we, you know, are party to. We don't buy into this. And we denounce those aspects of the speech, which are not in keeping with the law, with the oath, with the slogan, with the motto and so forth.
Okay. So do you view, Stephen, at all a failure of preparation to deal with that?
No. I mean, I think, you know, going into that, you know, there's definitely a lot of conversations to go with the kids going into what their behavior should be or could be as they go through that. You know, I'm not in, you know, we're looking at, what, 700 different troops of kids coming in. So there's a pretty large group. So to say who did and who didn't, I couldn't tell you how many did or didn't have those kind of conversations. But, Joel's right in the fact there is no way to predict what the president's going to say. You know, in the fact that he could go and did go off script. I think in the end, it's really more, if anything, it's really a lost opportunity for the president because, you know, he had a great opportunity, you know, to really spend all that time motivating the kids. The fact that he went off script, that's unfortunate. But, you know, I go back to that intended speech, what he wanted to deliver was a great message if he would have stuck to that all the way through.
Charlie, for you then, when you look at this, do you feel that the organization had a responsibility to say any more than they did? I mean, it was a little bit of kind of milquetoast statement at first, and then a couple days later, a little bit more. Kind of a, I'm sorry if you were offended kind of a thing, and it shouldn't have been politicized.
You can't not invite the president. It's a tradition. So there's no fault in the Boy Scouts inviting the president. I believe the leadership...
I mean, I think you cannot invite him if you say, based on his history of comments about women or about values, you probably could, couldn't you?
I mean, you could not... I think the invitation is an automatic thing. The president of the United States is also the honorary president of the Boy Scouts of America.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a tradition that I don't think we're going to see broken. I wouldn't want to see it broken.
Okay.
But... in terms of not inviting the president because he's inflammatory, because he's known to be a liar, that's where the preparation should have been to all of the scouts and the leaders. And the national should have prepped the troop leaders who were on the ground and said, okay, Trump's coming. We know he's going to go off script. We know he's going to be inflammatory. You've got to do the best you can to... make sure your scouts follow the scout oath and scout laws, you know, and be respectful, be friendly. But, you know, a scout is trustworthy. Well, if your guy is up there telling lies, what are you going to do? Now, having said that, and I've been involved with people in and out of scouting when I was an active scout leader, and then in my career since then, you bump into people and, oh, gee, I'm a scout or my son's a scout or whatever. It's a good point of commonality. Great way to make a connection with people. There are scout leaders who are very conservative, and there are troops who are very conservative, and they're going to be like, oh, yeah, USA or boo to Hillary. The scout organization, the national, should have said to all of the leadership, this is not a political place. Doesn't matter what your beliefs are. Doesn't matter what your party affiliation is. Doesn't matter who you voted for. We do not support someone up here being inflammatory.
And we wouldn't support it if it was Barack Obama or if Hillary Clinton were president or Donald Trump or anybody.
It's not what scouting is about. And if it does become politicized, scouting, which really has become politicized in my view over the years, when scouting moved from New Jersey to Texas, did it move because the conservatives took over scouting or did it become conservative after it moved to Texas? I don't know, but that happened in, what, 78, I believe?
I don't know.
I did some looking. In the late 70s.
But I don't understand what you mean when you say you think it became politicized.
Well, okay. And I go back to the late 50s and early 60s, mid-60s when I was a scout. There was no politics in scouting at all.
Right.
I had dinner with a dear friend on Monday evening. Art's 4 years older than me. He was at the 64 Jamboree. Lyndon Johnson spoke. And I had prepped Art when I invited him and his wife and granddaughter to dinner. We're going to talk about the president's speech. He listened to the speech in full also. Lyndon Johnson spoke in 64 at the Jamboree. Art said it was one of the most moving experiences of his life. He was there as, I don't know, probably a 17-year-old Eagle Scout, just about ready to head off to Cornell for his education. And he still remembers Johnson's speech. But it wasn't political at all. It was about service to the country and service to everybody around him.
But those are still scout values.
Those are absolutely scout mm-hmm. values. Johnson was not political in his speech. And frankly, I haven't paid attention to any president speaking at the scouts since then. I know Obama wouldn't go because he disagreed with some of the scout policies, but he sent in recorded messages, which from everything I've been able to figure out, were not political. They were uplifting, motivating speeches to an audience of probably 14 to 18-year-old kids. I don't know. Maybe there's some 12-year-olds. How old do you have to be to go to the Jamboree?
You could be as young as 12, but for the most part, that audience of kids is really 14 to 18.
Yeah, okay. So Obama's messages were, you were there, I presume. Were mm-hmm. they appropriate?
Yeah, actually, Obama's message you couldn't hear at the Jamboree in 2010. And that was actually one of the reasons I was really worried about what was going to happen with Trump, because he had basically reneged his visit 2 days prior. And he went on The View. Matter of fact, I watched The View this year when they're showing the mm-hmm. Trump speech. They were talking about Obama having mm-hmm. passed the opportunity to come and visit, to be on The View. And so that was tough, because the only way you saw the Obama speech is actually go back later and watch it as a rewind, because mm-hmm. the crowd was not courteous. And that's kids being kids again, mm-hmm. you know. So with that, and that was one of the real driving fears of what was going to happen this time, which probably why I walked out of the arena saying I didn't get the reaction that I was anticipating because of what happened in 2010.
Right. I'm sure you were like, phew, it didn't get as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah, I thought it was actually going to be horrible just because of that experience. But with that, but you're right. I mean, for most of the visits, and this is my sixth Jamboree, it's only the second time I've had the chance to see a president live at the Jamboree. And with that, though, you know, it is usually a very moving experience mm-hmm. for the kids. And it's phenomenal just to watch the president, just how he gets into the arena. And that can change from president to president. And even with this one, we didn't know if he was landing by helicopter at the arena or if he was coming in by motor pool, because they don't tell us. They have all options available on the board. And so with that, just the experience of watching that whole thing come together is really just an incredible patriotic opportunity for the kids. And it is a moving experience. And like I said earlier, it's probably a huge missed opportunity that the president didn't get a chance to deliver that moving once-in-a-lifetime message.
Can I just jump in and say, listeners who are on the phone, we're going to come and take your calls here. I want to spend the second half hour. We'll take your calls on whatever you want to talk about. But I want to talk about what Scout values are, though. What are Scout values? I'm not a Boy Scout. I didn't grow up in the Scouts. And this is a great opportunity, actually, now that the door is open, to talk about what the values are and what it means to be a Boy Scout in 2017. And, you know, I did want to ask Stephen, are you concerned about losing any interest or losing membership, et cetera, because of what happened at the Jamboree?
No. I mean, I think I don't know that we'll lose members or lose interest in what happened. I mean, obviously, it's not a great PR opportunity for us, if you look at it that way. But with that, I don't know that we'll lose membership over it.
Has anyone locally turned in a badge?
None that I know of.
Okay. And Charlie, I don't mean to kind of get hung up on the point, but I still don't fully understand when you say you feel like modern scouting has become politicized. Are you saying that it's a conservative family send their kids to be scouts and progressive families don't?
I never was an Eagle, so I never went through an Eagle board review. I was a Life Scout and just got involved in too many other things. My second son did achieve his Eagle. There was a very great concern because we're not a religious family. We're spiritual, but we're not religious. And whenever there was a scouting activity, because I was raised as a Catholic, I would take all the Catholic kids to Mass. And my kids would go along. They used to go to Mass with their grandparents. But not having a formal church affiliation, there was a great concern and I was never the scoutmaster. I was an assistant and a committee member. The scoutmaster, having gone through a bunch of Eagles, Mike might have a problem with his Eagle board review because he's not a member of a church. And that was never an issue. And I asked my friend Art about it when we had dinner the other night. And no, nobody ever asked a word about religion back in 1963 or 4 or whatever. There have been instances where scouts have been denied their Eagle badge because they didn't have a church affiliation. Now, in Rochester, I don't know. Was it a big deal in Buffalo? In the end, nobody ever asked Mike anything about religion when he did his board review. But at the same time,
Stephen, are you concerned that scouting has become politicized at all?
Yeah, I wouldn't say politicized, though you could definitely make the argument that there's a lot of organizations around the country on both sides that have tried to use scouting as a leverage tool to fight an argument. Mm-hmm. And it happens on both extremes. And so as we've seen the era progress with an organization that tries to stay out of the issues, it's one of those conservative organizations, conservative as far as values go, to say that, hey, can we leverage this organization one way or the other? And so as, you know, the Boy Scouts went through different battles over the years, you know, they kind of turned down support from organizations on both ends to say, hey, we want to help you fight this argument or fight this battle, and trying to stay kind of in the middle ground and trying to stay away from it. So there's kind of that tug of war that's gone on, and that's really, I think, been the bigger issue for us for the last kind of decade, is where do we sit in this tug of war between the ends, trying to pull us one way or the other.
All right, two more quick questions for Stephen. We'll get our break in. We'll come back to your phone calls. A couple listeners just want to know, are you aware of it being true or false, the president making a claim that National Boy Scout leadership called the White House and said that was the greatest speech ever given to us?
I know of no... I saw Michael several times during the Jamboree and his administrative assistant. No call from Michael to the White House. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure who on our national staff or volunteer group is responsible for setting up that visit. But as far as I know, there's no conversation between our national CEO and the president.
Is lying about something like that part of Scout values?
He would be pretty upfront if he had the opportunity to have that conversation. So
No. I'm talking about the president himself. If he's lying about, you know, the scouts calling him, praising him.
Yeah, I guess, well, item one is trustworthy, right? So that wouldn't be. But, you know, and it's possible that he had a conversation with somebody who was a volunteer in the organization, right, and that was their opinion, and he's now taken that as national leadership. So, you know, yeah, that is theoretically possible. But as far as, you know, our interpretation, was it Michael that did that? I don't think it was.
Okay, and then just in short for our listeners who may want to stick on the political side, and listeners, I'm going to open it up after we come back, but I do also want to kind of go down and say, teach me about what scouting means. What should it mean? What has it meant to people like Joel, Charlie, Stephen? If people are going to be new to scouting, what are the values? What are we going to learn? But what is your, to the extent that you have any problems with what the president said, what's your biggest problem with what you heard at the Jamboree, Stephen?
Actually, the biggest thing, well, versus what I heard or the different, it's really what the difference was from the attitude of kids and people at the Jamboree versus what happened outside. So what was really interesting for me was that if you were visiting with crowds and kids at the Jamboree, for the most part, everybody's attitude was, I got a typical presidential campaign speech. I see it on TV, and that's what I got. And there was really the debate that has happened kind of in the media, social as well as other forms, didn't play up at all at the Jamboree. And almost to some extent, that entire group was very much immune from the conversation. Because the reality is, when you're at the Jamboree, you're 10 days, you're out of pocket, so to speak. And though there is internet and, you know, everybody's got smartphones, you're not really paying attention to it. It happened, we had the presidential visit, and then everybody just sort of moved on, whereas it kind of played out in the media. And so for me, that was kind of really the biggest surprise of the Jamboree, was how different the attitudes were, both in society as well as in the crowd that was there.
some of our listeners on Twitter and email weighing in. And as I go to break, here's Bryce's email, just because I want to make sure we get all sides of this. Bryce says, I'm a dad and an Eagle Scout. My son went to the Jamboree and is exuberant about his 8 days of adventure. I was happy to give my son the experience of the Jamboree and to see a sitting president. I was happy with our boy's age-appropriate behavior. Please don't judge Boy Scouts of America for Trump's behavior. That's from Bryce. Yeah. So that's just one perspective. Let's go ahead and get our only break of the hour. We'll come back and talk about what Scout values are and get some of your phone calls as well on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Stephen Hoyt is a Scout executive and CEO of Seneca Waterways Council. Charlie Brady is a former Scout and Scout leader. And Joel Helfrich is a local historian and a former Eagle Scout who turned in his badge in 2012. So long before the recent imbroglio with President Trump, he did that because of his concern about the Scouts' views on some cultural issues, gay issues, among others. And so let's go ahead and take some of your phone calls. Patrick in Rochester. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, Evan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Thanks for the conversation. I'm an Eagle Scout, and I was fortunate enough to go to two national jamborees in 1993 and 1997. In 97, I saw President Bill Clinton speak. And am white hot about the difference between that speech and my memories of that experience when compared to Trump's performance last week. I internalized the Scout Law and the Scout Oath, and there are 12 points in the Scout Law, and Donald Trump is none of those. Maybe you could say he's cheerful, but he's certainly not courteous. He's not kind, he's not obedient, he's not loyal, and he's certainly not trustworthy.
Patrick, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a young son, and the way, you know, I don't think that there's necessarily an immediate reaction that will happen, but I really question, you know, whether I can share the extremely valuable experience that scouting gave to me in my life, you know, with my son, if I would want that in this political climate. And with this kind of person, you know, giving this kind of speech to a group of children.
Well, Patrick, thank you for the phone call. He brought up some of the points in the Scout Law, right? So can we go over the 12?
Yeah, so trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, and reverent.
Clean.
Oh, did I skip clean? I'm sorry.
that's why we've got the full panel here. So that's the dozen. And how central and how often do those points come up, Steve?
You know, the kids bring them up every meeting, every troop meeting the kids recite them. Matter of fact, last year, the National Board actually did away with what was a Cub Scout promise and oath and kind of brought those Boy Scout value oath and law back into Cub Scouting. So at all levels now, we have all 12 points. And then and kind of really recite and drive home those values. And they all represent, you know, some of them are similar, but they're in all ways different. And keep reciting those points. It's repeated over and over and over again.
Now, before we get to Kathleen in Rochester on the phone next, I want to go to Joel Helfrich, who during our brief break was bringing up the point that for those who don't really understand the Jamboree experience or what, you know, the mission of these kind of events is, you had some real concern about people who had these wonderful experiences, often parents with their kids as well, and what, you know, sort of might have been sullied by that. So why don't you kind of take us back to that, Joel?
I mean, just to be clear, I was never at any of the Boy Scout Jamboree events, but I was part of troops that did quite a lot of travel. We were constantly on rivers. We were constantly on waterways. We were winter camping in the Tug Hill Plateau up in the Adirondacks. So we did it quite a bit, both when I lived in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and when I lived here and finished up and got my Eagle Scout rank in Rochester. So that I want to make that clear. But, you know, these are events that people will remember forever. And that was clear in the instance of this guy from Moorhead, Minnesota that you cited, where he said that changed his life. For me personally, the Boy Scouts, I'm still doing things in 2017 that I either learned how to do in the Boy Scouts or I was, you know, supported to do during the Boy Scouts. I think about the ways in which I pursue research nowadays. You know, everything that I did and the ways in which I network nowadays with people and organizations and try to build community, that's all stuff that I learned in the Boy Scouts. And I did it with regards to my Eagle Scout project. I did it with regards to the community service that I did. So you know, these moments, whether it's a high adventure camp or it's a jamboree or it's some other trip or hiking or biking or whatever scouts still do today, you know, those are all things I carry with me still to this moment. And that goes for the scout law. It goes for the scout oath, motto, slogan, all that good stuff. I look at the scout law and, you know, even if I take out the word cheerful that the caller just mentioned, you know, to me, I wrote down, Trump does not make people happy. How else do we explain the lowest approval ratings? How does he constantly look down on people? He's mean-spirited. According to the Boy Scouts of America, a scout looks for the bright side of things. He cheerfully does tasks that come his way. He tries to make other people happy.
By the way, Joel, during some of the remarks that we played earlier, one of the weirdest, and there's so many... I keep going back to the word weird. It was a weird speech to kids, my gut. But anyway, he says, you know, you're going to live interesting lives. He said, but occasionally you're going to be bored. Your workers, you'll be bored, but you'll maybe have a few interesting years in between. To him, it was almost like the idea of doing work is boring. And that's not a scout motto.
No, I mean, to be cheerful, to go about doing your business, to help other people at all times. You know, those are qualities that every American should have, every citizen should have. And unfortunately, there's a severe disconnect in this case. And I know that we want to talk about kind of where do you go from here? And I hope we get to that. But there's a severe disconnect between, you know, Donald Trump's lived experiences and his inability to realize who he's talking to. You know, we talk about politics. I became involved in politics, you know, as an adult. And certainly I was aware as a citizen kind of what my rights and responsibilities were in society. But it wasn't until I was an adult that I realized, you know, these are candidates who I support. These are people who have issues that I believe in. This is the way in which I want to live my life. And certainly that was informed by scouting. But, you know, it's a weird speech in part because he doesn't have any filter. He doesn't realize who he's talking to. It's almost like he could have been talking to anybody, as you said. It was a pep rally. It was a campaign speech, as you said. And it's amazing that he's still campaigning after he won and bragging and bullying and all this stuff. So it's really just, it makes me sad. It makes me angry. And, you know, my big question to the Boy Scouts is, you know, where do you go from here? How do you make this a teachable moment?
Well, let's get our callers who have some ideas on the path forward now. And in particular, I will just say, again, even though I wasn't a Boy Scout growing up, I'm raising a five-year-old, and all he wants to do is be outside. I love that because there are kids around him who all they want to do is be on electronics. And I think organizations, whether it's the Boy Scout or many others that are focused on the value of work, you know, and a lot of people talked about that after Senator Ben Sasse's book this year and getting kids to get, you know, on task and embracing tasks and doing it cheerfully and being outdoors and having those outdoor skills. I mean, I think this is an important moment. And so before we're done this hour, we're absolutely going to hit that. But I know our callers have some ideas about maybe the path forward now. Kathleen in Rochester next. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Hi, Evan. I'm the parent of two Eagle Scouts. And when I initially went into scouting, I was kind of skeptical about it. I didn't really approve of the don't ask, don't tell law or policy for gays. But my husband was really enthusiastic, so we went into it. And my boys just loved it. But the thing is, we found a troop that was actually had an adult leader who was openly gay. We have in our troop, we have members of all sorts of religions, but we don't check their churches. We just have a diversity of opinions. We have Obama supporters and Trump supporters in our troop. But the boys have learned how to really get along together. And I think I talked to my two sons about the speech, and one of the things they wanted to emphasize is that the value of Scouts to them is that we were in a very boy-led troop. So the leadership values that the boys have learned, and they kind of feel like with what's going on with this speech and its impact on scouting, is that the scouts need to take it to the boys to say, this is a problem we have with our image now. How do we solve this? How do we as Boy Scouts, and how will you as Boy Scouts, what can we do as Boy Scouts just to show people what our values are?
Kathleen, thank you for the phone call. Let all of our guests respond, starting with Stephen. Go ahead.
No, I think, I mean, obviously it's a teachable moment for on a lot of fronts, and it opens the dialogues, but it also talks about, you know, the values and things we do with kids and really the lifelong impact that scouting has on kids and where it goes. And I think that's really the important part is, you know, what is the impact that we have as we move forward as working with, you know, kids and in the organization, but also, you know, to Kathleen's point, take back to what's the teachable moment here. And to that extent, I'm sure it happened a lot at the Jamboree, but even with groups back home as groups come back together.
Charlie Brady is a former scout and scout leader. What's the way forward in the teachable moment here for you?
Well, I'll reinforce one of the things Kathleen said. There's a lot of troops in, hopefully, in every community, at least a couple choices, and find the troop that A, your child, your son wants to be involved in, but then you have to get involved in that troop to make sure it's the troop you want your son to be involved in. In the best troops, the boys think they're running the show, and the scoutmasters and assistants and the committee, I found making the transition from once being a scout to then being a dad and a leader, you lead best when you're way in the background, and the boys, you know, the 11-year-olds don't know what they're doing, but by the time they're 14 or 15, they should be running the troop, and the leadership facilitates that for those boys. The leadership skills that I learned in scouts served me throughout my career. Both of my sons are highly successful professionals, and they are leaders because they learned how in the scouts. So I'm still a huge proponent of the values that scouting can bring, but I also would say to any parent who's listening, if you're not involved in your son's troop, you can't complain about what's not going well. You've got to get out there and be active.
Okay. Joel Helfrich.
It's kind of a tough question to answer because the Boy Scouts, I think, try to walk a fine line by not wanting to have a role to play in politics, and I understand completely why that is, and I support why that is. So in terms of a teachable moment, I think about, for example, the Boy Scout merit badges that are required for someone to advance and achieve the rank of Eagle. And I think that in there are likely opportunities to bring up the Jamboree as an example, maybe not to hash out the politics of what we heard, but to talk about what it means in terms of citizenship, in terms of public ethics, in terms of any number of things. I wrote down some merit badges that I thought applied to this moment: American business, American culture, American heritage, American labor, citizenship in the community, citizenship in the nation, communication, energy. He lied about energy. So, you know, he said that we're finally going to start exporting more energy than we take in. That we did that back in 2015. You know, this is not something new to the Trump administration. Entrepreneurship, environmental science, reading, scholarship, sustainability. You know, Trump brags about the fact that he doesn't read. So, you know, are there moments where we can use Donald Trump as an example, maybe not necessarily of what you're not supposed to be as a scout or as a citizen in this country, but at least enable our scouts to think critically about, you know, these merit badges that they are earning and what it means to be a scout and embody the scout law and all the other things that we've talked about today.
Okay, John in Rochester next on the phone. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Evan. Yeah, I look at this as a positive for the Boy Scouts. I think Donald Trump's a very charismatic guy, and I think you might have it in a surge of new memberships. What are your thoughts there?
Why would you get a surge of new memberships out of this, John?
Well, because he's a charismatic guy. A lot of people admire him, and Boy Scouts tend to be a little more conservative, I think, than the norm, and I think you might draw out a lot more of that type of person. And the other thing I was going to mention, one of your guests mentioned Donald Trump's a liar. Well, so was Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. I mean, where do you draw the line there?
Well, I mean, you draw the line as demonstrably big. But John's right.
Well,
here.
I could make an argument against that statement, Evan, but I don't want to get sidetracked on that.
All right. So fair enough, John. Thank you for the phone call. Let's get to the charismatic thing. On the liar thing, objectively. President Obama lied about a few things in office. Bill Clinton certainly lied about a few things in office. Human beings lie all the time. That's a characteristic of humans. In fact, I recommend everyone read Sam Harris's mini book called Lying. And that will really challenge you to think about that. In fact, maybe that's a, again, I'm not a scout, but maybe that honesty's on the list.
Honesty's
on the list. That's a good thing. John, I mean, you cannot dispute that Donald Trump has lied a lot, at the very least. So,
I think it's a daily basis.
Yes.
You know,
silly.
We were told by Donald Trump's attorney and by his son that, you know, certain things happened with regards to this meeting with the Russian representative.
I was told there would be no Russia, but okay.
And, you know, yet, you know, we find out in the last 24 to 48 hours that that's not true, that, you know.
But we don't even have to go to Russia. I mean, Trump is claiming that the Boy Scout leadership called him and said that was the greatest speech ever. And it clearly is either a lie or he heard it from somebody on the street and he, you know, conflated leadership with, you know, whatever.
And attendance at the Boy Scout.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. See, look how sidetracked we've gotten. The point is, John believes charismatic leader, big profile national moment. And John did say he thinks scouting has become more conservative, that this is a moment to attract new people. Stephen, do you agree?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think obviously that having scouting in the news in the forefront and talking about values is a great opportunity to share with parents, you know, what scouting does do. And so that conversation alone should hopefully work to help, you know, open scouting as an option to a lot of families who want to enroll their kids in the program. You know, we could spend a lot of time talking about, you know, kind of the values and the impact and the character development that scouting does on kids. So from that perspective and that conversation, that's a good thing. You know, as a single based moment, I don't know if it'll bring in more. But, you know, locally here, we look at membership as growing for us. I mean, nationwide, it's still down, but locally, we were up 3% over where we were this time last year. So that's, you know, we're pretty beneficial to have a phenomenal scouting program here in Rochester that really delivers a quality experience and retains kids. So,
how can parents find you if they're interested?
Yeah, so you can go to beascout.org is a website where they can get information about their scout program. SenecaWaterways.org is our website. They can get all the information about our local scout program. And we run four programs under the umbrella of scouting, so Cub Scouting, Boy Scouting, Venturing, and Exploring. The latter two programs are co-ed, starting at 14. Venturing being high adventure and exploring being career-based. If you think of like police cadets or fire cadets, they're probably explorers. And so those four programs all kind of work under the umbrella of our Boy Scout program, and collectively about 11,000 kids in about 480 different programs that we run.
Joel Helfrich, you turned in your badge as an Eagle Scout in 2012 over social issues, but you said you would have considered doing that now had you not done it then, given everything that's happened. What would it take to change your mind to say, you know, I'm proud to hold that badge, and then I wouldn't turn it in?
Well, like I said, I mean, it's tough because we're talking about an issue that happened 10 days ago that really is upsetting on so many levels. And I think it's even upsetting to conservative Eagle Scouts. So, you know, right now, I'd say that I was justified then. I feel kind of like I would do the same thing now. So,
but what do you want to see from the Boy Scouts of America that would change that for you? Because I know you've talked all hour about how scouting has impacted your life in a positive way. Right.
No, there's no doubt about it. My experience was wonderful. Yeah, and, you know, there have been a number of points where I haven't agreed with current issues that were and policies that the Boy Scouts had taken. To me, I don't know what it would take. I've been asking myself that since 2012. I continue to ask that given the events of the last week. You know, the question that comes to my brain on a regular basis is, you know, here we are more than 100 years since the Boy Scouts of America was founded. You know, what's the role of scouting in the 21st century? I look at the photographs of the Jamboree. I see mostly white faces. I think, you know, is there something we could do not only here locally but nationally to increase diversity, at least racial diversity? And is there a way in which to continue to make Boy Scouts meaningful in the 21st century? Those are things I'm sure that the Boy Scouts are grappling with right now. But I don't have an answer for it.
Okay, and to be fair, about 40 seconds, Stephen, on the racial diversity, do we need to see more diversity in the Boy Scouts? Is that a part of the goal?
Absolutely, and we're always looking ways to reach into new communities, new markets, get families. For the most part, in our suburbs, we trend pretty equally to whatever the racial breakdown is of the suburbs. It's really in the inner cities where we really struggle. And that comes back to a number of issues, but one of them being volunteers and really getting quality volunteers and role models to work with kids in the inner city. And so there where you see, you know, a lot of more minority groups where you're a higher population population densities, we do a worse job because we don't have the quality of leadership. We don't do as well serving that percentage of members.
Okay, in 20 seconds, Charlie, final thoughts from you on the matter. Go ahead.
I would say if you don't like the way the program's running, get involved and change it.
That was less than 20 seconds. Is succinctness, is that is brevity a Boy Scout motto?
Well, the succinct and delivery of a message should be everybody's motto.
Yes. You're talking to a guy who does 500 hours a year. I need a little help with that. Charlie, thank you for coming in. Charlie Brady is a former scout and scout leader. I appreciate meeting you. Thank you for being here.
Well, I've enjoyed your program, and it's good to participate. Thank
Very
you.
Very good. Joel Helfrich, a local historian and a former Eagle Scout, sharing his views. Thank you, Joel.
You're welcome, and thanks for inviting me.
You got it. Stephen Hoyt, Scout Executive and CEO of Seneca Waterways Council. One more time, online where, Stephen?
You can go to senecawaterways.org to get more information about the Boy Scout program.
Thank you. Again, I just want to say again, Stephen has really stepped up and said, I'll be here. And it's not probably the most fun situation for Scout leaders in certain ways. Thank you for participating.
Oh, absolutely, my pleasure.
We appreciate that. Much more connection straight ahead.